Please stand for the reading of the sermon text. Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of our Lord that we consider this morning is taken from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, starting with verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, and on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which he lacks, that there should be no schisms in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one another suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. So far, our text. Please be seated. Spiritual head of the body of believers, dear fellow redeemed. The human body is truly a great marvel of God's creation. We don't have to be a doctor or an biologist to know how extraordinary this body that God has created is, a living unit. It's clearly observable that the human body itself is a complete unit made up of many different parts. Each of these parts have their own particular function to perform. And all these parts or members work together for the common good of the body. Among these many body parts are the senses that enable us to smell, to see, to hear, to feel. And then there are also the appendages, the limbs, that enable us to move about and perform different kinds of activities. And then there are the internal organs, all very important, along with many other parts of the body, all jointly fit together into one human body. The Apostle Paul uses this complete living unit as a comparison to yet another very special creation of God, namely, his church of believers. As a group of believers, we're not made up of people who are completely separate or independent of each other. No. We are a group of individuals who have been drawn together to make up one complete body, which the Bible refers to as the body of Christ, the Holy Christian Church. And even as the human body consists of many parts, with each part having its own particular function to perform, for the good of the body, so also the church of believers, made up of many members, each of us having various gifts and abilities and roles to perform for the common good of the Christian church. Fellow believers. One of the problems in the Christian church in Corinth in Paul's day was that the members were not acting or functioning as a single unit working together for the common good of their fellow Christians in Corinth. Instead of displaying a kindred spirit of unity, there was a spirit of disunity. There were some who were discontent with their roles that they were called upon to perform, and they were envious of others who had those roles that they thought that they should have. And there were those who looked down upon others with a spirit of superiority and aloofness. The members in Corinth were not showing a spirit of loving concern for one another. Acting as a disjointed body, they weren't working together for the common good of one another. Therefore, it became necessary for Paul to address this issue with those Christians of Corinth, as well as Christians today. He had to remind them of how it works in the Christian church, the body of Christ. The members are united together into one body, the body of Christ, that we are to use our gifts and our abilities for the benefit of the whole body. The Christian church, or the body of Christ, is the most important group of people that we could be a part of. Oh yeah, there's all other kinds of groups that people join, like social clubs or business organizations in which individuals attend meetings, pay their dues, and take part in temporal activities. The importance of the church is not based upon a social, economic, political, or patriotic consideration. Rather, it's based on a common faith. Faith in the precious knowledge of the one true triune God. And in and through our Savior Jesus Christ, we're bonded together into a very special group of people. The spiritual body of Christ. Paul writes of the special oneness of this body of which we are a part of. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Paul tells us that it's through baptism that we are, and it's not a matter of race or nation, that we're drawn together into this close, united body, this intimate group, working in and through that precious means of grace and baptism. The Holy Spirit penetrates our hearts and our minds and brought us about a marvelous change, imparting to us saving faith. Possessing a new spirit of heart, we look to one God, one Father of us all in faith, trusting in Him to take care of us, and we show our love for Him by being willing to obey His commandments. Maybe I've said this before. I don't always remember. Can you summarize the commandments in one word? Law? Statutes? Love. Love summarizes all the Ten Commandments. Love for God and love for our neighbor. We regard Jesus as our elder spiritual brother who laid down His life for us, for our forgiveness and salvation. And we rejoice in that one spirit of spiritual work uniting us together with God and with one another in a blessed fellowship. Having been joined together in this one family of God, we then look to each other with a kindred spirit of love and concern for brothers and sisters in the Lord. Yesterday was a marvelous day for the women, was it not? You were able to see and listen and talk to fellow Christians across the United States. And certainly you displayed, I would imagine, a common bond and loving concern for one another. Quite an experience, quite a blessing. In order that this mutual love and concern continues to grow and flourish, we regularly get together around God's Word and sacraments. For in this way, we drink in that life-giving, life-sustaining, life-refreshing Spirit of God. Having been made a part of the body of Christ, we're not to be looking upon ourselves as separate, individual, independent entities who are only concerned about ourselves. No. Being a part of the whole body, we're sensitive to and we're concerned about the welfare of each and every member of the body of Christ, the Holy Christian Church. Paul writes in Galatians, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." So closely are we joined together in this one body that what affects one part of the body affects the rest of the body. Using an example of the human body again, when you stub your toe, is the pain just experienced by the toe? It's an entire body is affected by the stubbing of your toe. And when one part of the body is injured, the rest of the body gets into action to help repair that injury or to alleviate the problem. When one Christian suffers, other Christians feel empathy, sympathy, concern, compassion for the rest of their Christian church. One is affected, the others are all affected. In the New Testament church, we read of a number of instances where Christian brethren who were separated by miles and didn't have any personal acquaintance with those Christians across the globe, where when they heard that there were Christians over there that were suffering or in need, they prayed for them. They did what they could to be of help to them. And when we have one example of that, when in Judea, Christians were suffering severe trials and hardships, well, brethren all over the world came and moved into action, and they did what they could to help those people in need. In ways like this, each member of the body seeks to be of service to other members of the body. Where Christian love and unity exist, there's no room for the spirit of only looking out for oneself, nor is there place for factions, divisions, in which members will only associate with some and not with others within the Christian fellowship. This is to be the case in our congregation, as well as our sister congregations of the CLC at large. With a human body, there is no group of parts which separate themselves from the rest of the body. They are equally joined together, making up one united body, each working for the common good of the other parts. This is the way it works in the Christian church. At least this is the way it should be working. Earlier we spoke of the great marvel of the human body in that it has many parts, each having a specific function to perform for the body as a whole. God has similarly equipped his church of believers with differing gifts and abilities which we are to be using for one another, for fellow Christians. In his letter to the Romans, Paul mentions some of those gifts as he declares, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to you, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, serving, let's use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortations, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." Each of us, each and every one of us, have been given different gifts and abilities, which God wants us to use in service of his church. In our congregation, some are called to lead. They have abilities to lead in different ways in church council. Now, just because some people have been elected and chosen to serve in these leadership roles, that doesn't mean they do all the work. Now, if there's need in some other areas where other people have different gifts and abilities to help out, then they come forward and do what they can to be of service of the church. And there's certainly much work to be done in the Lord's kingdom. There is a role for each and every one of us to serve in. In Paul's letter to the Romans, again, we read of how a person might serve by giving encouraging word to those in need, by visiting shut-ins, lonely, or sick, by doing common ordinary tasks for those in need, by giving financial offerings toward the general or special work of the church, and finally, showing mercy to others. You know, it's interesting in Jesus' ministry, when people were in need, the way in which they asked him for help, they cried out, "Lord, have mercy upon me." And this was simply saying, "Please, Lord, see my need, have pity upon me, and help me." That is what we are to be doing for fellow Christians. Show mercy where there is need for help. As we grow older, there's still things that we can do. We can share the wisdom that we've gained over the years. We can pray. Pray for the pastor. Pray for our fellow believers. We should never think that there's nothing that we can do that can contribute for the church, benefit of the church. If there still remains a question of what we can do, we'll look on Christ and his word. How we can use our gifts to help one another. As we recognize the gifts and abilities God has blessed us with for the church, we should never look upon them as being insignificant or inconsequential, and then for that reason wish we had some other role that we could perform. Paul answering this by saying once again the comparison of the human body, saying, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. Many members of our body have each their function, and we need one another. Just as our body has different parts that performs different things, we need those different parts for our body. On the other hand, none should look down upon others and what they do as if we can get along without their help in the church. Paul responds to this saying, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. We're all a part of the body of Christ, each having been given a respective role to perform for the common good of the whole body. May the Lord enable us to recognize those gifts and abilities that He's granted us, and then be faithful in using them for the benefit of our fellow Christians. And may the Holy Spirit continue to work in our hearts so that we are concerned for and have a willing spirit to serve one another in the spirit of love and devotion. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God that surpasses understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.